Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in again tonight. This show, is for all you songwriters, people like you, and performers and musicians around the country who just want to get a handle on how things work here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything.
I think they've probably figured that out by now.
Well, I'm just reminding Darren. It's been a while. He's got to remember the level of idiocy he's stepped into. No, we're out there just slinging songs during the day, just like you guys are. But we are able to find the right people, talented, brilliant people, and bring them into the studio, pick their brains, and talk about music.
Yeah, and you can join that conversation by going to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. Like us, chime in with your questions and comments right there, and the conversation just starts right now. Now, we have a big, big show tonight. We got bluegrass rock stars, Daly and Vincent, or it might just be Vincent and Vincent.
I don't see no Daly tonight.
Exclusive news tonight. Vincent and Vincent is the new name of the group, and he's with us here in hour one.
That's right, and then we're going to be talking about the Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival, which is coming up next weekend up in Gatlinburg. We're going to have the Darlins here. They're going to sing us some songs. We're just going to talk about what we love about the festival, and we're just going to have us a big time.
That's going to be awesome. All right, Scott, why don't you go ahead and do the honors?
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to tell you all a story. You ready?
Yes.
December 30th, I'm coming home from a gig from Bardstown, Kentucky in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And I stop on the Kentucky-Tennessee border to gas up. And who do I see there?
Trevor Burrito.
Who do I see there but Darren Vincent buying gas for the group? And they had just finished they had just finished the opera show. And they were heading north for, I think, a New Year's gig. But it wasn't just another opera show, because that was the night they had been invited to become Grand Ole Opry members.
Yes.
And I'm sure Darren would have mentioned it, but it was so cold our eyelids were frozen open. And goodness knows Jamie wasn't going to come out and pump gas. So, so he didn't mention that to me, but I found out and I was so excited for him. And in addition to their new Opry status, their countless awards and nonstop touring dates, they've recently dropped an amazing new CD called Patriots and Poets. We have an awful lot to talk about. It's always a pleasure to say Grand Ole Opry stars Vincent.
Wow. And Vincent.
Daly will be here soon, I'm sure. Man, I'm happy you're here, Darren. Good to see you, man. Welcome to the Music Row Show.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Big round of applause.
Keep your seats, guys. Please. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm actually very happy to see you. So, why does Jamie hate pumping gas so much? I mean, does he...
Well, the smell of the gas gets in his, I guess, on his cuticles or something like
that. Oh, you can't mess those up.
He loves to eat his, chew his... fingernails.
Oh, I see.
And the smell of that, it just bothers him.
Yeah. Diesel only for him. Exactly. I understand.
Gasoline he hates.
How in the world, I mean, just from looking at your schedule, it just seems like you guys are so busy. How in the world do you find time to squeeze everything in that you do between your shows and the writing and the TV and the radio and all that stuff?
You know, it looks like we're really busy, but we do about 100 tour dates a year. And then now that we're doing the Grand Ole Opry, we've been doing that about, I guess, 5 to 7 times a month.
Okay.
Which is really wonderful.
Yeah.
And but, you know, we get it squeezed in. We usually work with wonderful folks like Jonathan Schaefer over there at WSM.
He's
a class act. He helps us do our radio show for Springer Mountain Farms every month. It's the last Friday of the month, right before the Grand Ole Opry on WSM.
That's what they call cross-promotion.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then, did you know we're the only show not sponsored by Springer Mountain Farms?
Yeah. I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
But anyway, the TV show, it was taped a few years ago, and we're getting ready to write some new ones with RFD TV and all that. So, we do work during the week quite a bit, but this is what we do. We have a day job. This is not a hobby. A lot of people, want to jam and all that. And it's like, well, this is what we do for a living.
Right,
This is not something we just hang around and do on the side.
You reminded me when you just said that. Scott can attest to this. You know, there have been a time or two where we've played a festival and then we've done our gigs and stuff, and then the organizers want to go somewhere and jam afterwards. And it's like, well, we just kind of did that for the last several hours, you know, and I can imagine you being like, oh, there he is. He's calling right now. Let's put him on the air.
Hey, Jamie, you're live on the air here.
What's that?
You're live on the air.
Oh, okay. You sent me a text. I didn't know what it meant.
Well, you're on the Music Row show live.
You're the third caller.
You're the third caller.
You just won. You just won tickets to the Daily and Vincent concert.
That's right. Front row seats to go see Vincent and Vincent, the new powerhouse bluegrass group.
Okay. Well, this is not going well.
We're it's not going well.
We'll talk to you later, Jamie. Okay. He's obviously not going to make it, Jai.
Well,
miss that's
him.
All right.
We'll miss him.
Yeah.
We're going to.
Well, let's talk about your career then.
Sure. No. Absolutely.
Well, you know, actually, because you were just talking about how, you know, this is what you do for a living.
Yeah.
And whereas, you know, we're songwriters, but we also have day gigs. You have always played music. I mean, that's since you were 3 years old.
That's exactly right.
You've been in a family band and then with Ricky Skaggs and. I mean, have you ever had you ever delivered pizzas?
You know what? I had a job that I did on the side just for fun with a friend of mine named Joe Smid. We put in sewer and water lines up in Missouri.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, if you go to a family that doesn't have water or sewer, they are so happy to get that working.
I'm sure.
You are a rock star.
Oh, absolutely.
To them, absolutely.
But it was really, fulfilling to do that. And we brought, before I moved to Nashville, I was working with Joe, and we took water and serviced the whole county because they only have wells and cisterns. Oh. And so we brought public water to, I think it was, 300 or 400 households.
Like in barrels or jugs or?
No, actually dug trenches.
Oh, I see what
you're
saying.
Drilled under the highway. I mean, it was a lot of fun to do that.
Yeah.
And, man, people were so happy to have running water. It was really fulfilling to me.
Okay, I'm going to ask you an embarrassing city boy question.
Okay.
Cistern.
Cistern.
What is a cistern?
Cistern. It's a cement like a square, maybe I don't know, 10-20 foot long, and it's in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And water. You fill it with water. You go to get the public water, like in a truck, like a tanker truck,
right?
And you come and pour it into a cistern.
Okay.
And you have a pump, and that's how you got your water.
See, I thought. Yeah. We had one of those. I thought that was the septic tank. So I may have done something wrong.
You treated that a little differently.
No.
Yeah. No, I've always wondered. In The Music Man, there's a line in one of the songs where he says, "And the cistern's empty on a Saturday night."
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was about.
Now you know.
Now I know.
He's a wealth of knowledge, this guy.
This is great. Welcome to Home Talk, Repair Talk with Darren Vincent. We're going to be talking roofing with his sister Rhonda in the next hour.
Rhonda the roofer. Yeah.
Yeah, Rhonda the roofer. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Okay, Patriots and Poets.
Yes.
What was the decision process like as far as deciding the theme of the CD and the song selection, et cetera?
Well, Jamie wrote almost all the songs. He's really the songwriter between us.
Right.
He's written a ton of songs with a lot of wonderful songwriters. And it was a life's goal for us to record all of our own original songs.
Right.
So he started getting close to, you know, I'm not close, but started asking like Jimmy Fortune, Bill Anderson, Jeffrey East, Karen Staley, people like that, to say, hey, I've got these ideas. We need up-tempo, slow, love song, ballads, whatever. And he came up with all these ideas, and these guys really lend a helping hand to write all these songs. And we actually recorded 26 songs, I believe.
And there's 17 or so on the CD, right?
Yeah, there's 15. Yeah.
15, yeah.
But we took the best of 26 that really fit together well, mm-hmm. and that's what we came up with, Patriots and Poets. And actually, our manager, Zach Koffler, said, man, these songs remind me of you guys being patriots. And then being the songwriter, we're poets. So he said, I think you should name it Patriots and Poets, and that stuck.
Wow,
that is awesome. So, what do you think you might eventually do with the other songs? Would that be for some sort of extra DVD set kind of thing later on down the line, or
we have nothing?
Or do you have your next album recorded now? Because you'll just take those. And
no, actually, we're getting ready to do a country record, and so we're writing that as well.
Oh, that's fantastic!
But yeah, I don't know what we're going to do with those songs. They're there. They're sitting there.
Well, after listening to Patriots and Poets, I loved it.
Thank you.
First of all, but I had to sit down and collect myself because what did I hear on several of the songs? Drums.
Oh, yeah.
Drums. So how did that decision come about? And then was there any internal debate about doing that and putting those on there?
Well, there was some debate. We actually cut the whole record without drums.
Uh-huh.
And it just didn't have the punch that we wanted. And so we called our drummer, Bob Mummert, and said, hey, come in and just play on maybe two tracks. We thought we'd keep it light.
Yeah.
And when he added that to the drums, it just lifted the whole song.
Yeah, yeah.
And we said, keep playing. And we finally just put it on all. I think there's maybe two songs that doesn't have drums. But
well, you got your acapella ones. And
yeah, yeah. But the drummer's singing on it, right?
Yeah, so, he is singing.
So
on it.
That's
yeah.
almost the same thing.
And then Buddy Hyatt, we called him for a couple of songs for the piano.
He told me to tell you you need to call him more often, and he needs to work with you more.
Okay,
so.
I think he just wants a check.
But, you know.
Well, that's all right. We'll be talking about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Buddy.
So anyway, that's how we came up with that. It was what made our ears sound better and what made it the punchy. And, you know, if you take, just for example, if you take a bluegrass group with no drums, no piano, and walk out after Carrie Underwood or anybody at the Grand Ole Opry with the big drums and the big bass and all that and the piano, and then you try to play onto that, it's taking a 12-inch cut and bringing it down to about a 2-inch cut.
Right.
It's huge.
It's like being a solo acoustic guy following a band.
Yeah.
You just don't want to do that.
No. So that's why we added the drums and the piano. Plus, we had the opportunity when we were with the Cracker Barrel Old Country Store in 2010, we did a tribute to the Statler Brothers.
That's right.
And that really opened the door for us to bring in a bass singer, piano player, and a drummer. Because that's the key to those songs.
Right.
And we tried it without it, and it's just dead. But you add those instruments with the bass vocal, and man, I'm telling you what, it just lights it up.
It sounded great. So I just know that in some bluegrass circles, you know, that's a no-no.
Yeah,
but I think it's great.
Well, thank you. And we've got some friends that have been friends for years that have festivals, and they're traditionalists, and they don't want the drums.
Right. Really?
Yeah, and we respect them, and we say, you know, we love you, and we respect you, and we're not coming to your festival. And we know we would like to come, but we would not do anything to disrespect you. And we've gotten you know, some flack from not coming, but it's just because we respect the gentleman.
Maybe
and
you
his
could
wishes.
Add a beatboxer next, you know? That could be kind
of
cool.
Well, and you guys have always been pioneers. I mean, wireless mics, you know, as opposed to just having that one mic that everybody's working on. Yeah. You guys have gone wireless mics and really tried to maybe
cover some ground.
Well,
stage.
You know, it's not just about standing there singing songs.
Right.
People want entertainment.
Yeah.
Right.
And when they come see Daly and Vincent, you're going to get great songs, entertainment, jokes, laugh, cry. We're going to try to give you everything that we can give you. That's why we went wireless, to give it more show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that's the bottom line. It's show, entertainment. Yeah. And people have to have that.
Wow. It's amazing to me how many bands outside of the country, you know, Nashville thing, don't realize that. I've gone to see a number of like rock type bands that look so bummed to be on stage.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they look like they really didn't want to be there.
No.
And I'm thinking, well, then why do I want to be here?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And people, they work hard for the money to come see you at concerts. They want to be entertained.
Yeah.
They don't want to be bored to death and see you up there sad to be on stage.
Pouting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like absolutely.
They've got enough problems in their life, most of them, because they ask for prayer after a show, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we know what people are going through, and we try to make them feel good. That's what we're supposed to do as entertainers, entertain the folks.
Absolutely.
So that's why we've made all the decisions we've made. It's been calculated and thought out. It just ain't, well, let's just try this.
Right.
It's like, no, let's see what works here, and we've thought about it.
All right.
Let's take a break. This segment is brought to you by Dogwood Cabins. Guess what? We're going to the Smoky Mountain Festival.
That is right.
This
coming
is,
up this week.
I think my fifth or sixth. I've been there all
of my fourth.
I'm really super excited about it. But we're going over there, and as much as I love Gatlinburg to go hang out and party, I love going to Townsend and staying in the cabins back there. It's kind of like the quiet side of
it is, and it's
the
right
Smokies.
There. It's not far away at all.
No. It's right. You know, it's just a little drive. But my gosh, it's beautiful there, and you don't have the crowds, and we're just very excited to head over there. It's all still beautiful. I know people are still kind of worried because of the fires, but man, it's gorgeous there. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
And Dogwood Cabins, you got to check them out at dogwoodcabins.com. They're in Townsend, Tennessee, and I can't wait.
Awesome. Well, listen, we're going to be back with more of Daly and Vincent here on the Music Road Show, so come on back.
Give me all the love you got.
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 I'm going down a road I've never been down before. I'm
were so deep in love, darling, I'm all yours. The moment we kissed, I thought, please don't stop. Honey, give me all the love you've got. Give me all the love you've got. Come on, baby, woo!
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That is Daly and Vincent off their brand new album. That's called Give Me All the Love You Got. I love that.
Thank you.
You know, whenever I try to do that deep part, singing along, it just sounds ridiculous. So,
me too.
You know.
Now, there's only special Hino, be few. Fair.
Okay, I always sound ridiculous.
Any of the parts you sing.
Wow, this is a rough show.
I tell you what.
Thanks, Scott.
He calls him like he sees him.
I know. Yeah. Well, we're here with one half of Daly and Vincent.
The other half is still circling the Opryland Hotel looking for a parking space. So
I don't know what he's doing.
Okay, I mentioned this in the intro.
Yes.
December 30th.
Yeah.
You guys are invited to become full-on members of the Grand Ole Opry.
Yep.
Just walk us through that night. What goes through your mind, and did you have any idea that that was about to happen?
I'll talk about that. One thing we have been working on was obviously becoming members of the Opry, because that was our very first paid show was at the Grand Ole Opry at the Ryman.
Wow.
December 29th, 2007.
Oh, wow.
So one thing our first manager, Don Lott, had really been working on was trying to make us members, but, you know, everybody dreams to become a member.
Sure, you don't just walk up and say, where do I sign?
Yeah. Right. And, you know, we'd had presentations and meetings and so on and so forth. And Zach Kaufler, our new manager of the last few years, he had been working on it. So anyway, it come that night, we're going to do it's 100th performance. We had to stop playing the Opry like in September, first part of September. We hit 99.
Uh-huh.
And Zach, our manager, said, guys, if I were you, I would wait to do your 10th anniversary, which was around the December 29th, 30th area.
Okay.
He said, I will wait to do the Grand Ole Opry on your 100th performance on the 10th anniversary.
Oh,
he said,
that's
that would
cool.
be the
that's
coolest.
Poetic.
Yeah, the coolest thing.
So then he already knew then.
No, he didn't.
No, okay.
No, he just said, I would suggest this. So it was September, we said, okay, we're not going to do the Opry till then, if we can get it. We didn't know we could get it.
Right, right.
So I think he had went to work then with Pete Fisher and the team here at Gaylord and really pushed to try to become members, because that was a huge story. 10th anniversary, 100th performance. It was wonderful. So anyway, that night, Zach said, okay, they're going to let you have 30 minutes at the Grand Ole Opry to bring friends. And I told my wife, I said, the only people I've ever known to get 30 minutes on the Grand Ole Opry and bring guests as members. I said, this is so odd to me. And me and Jamie was in the back of the bus talking how odd that was.
Yeah.
But, you know, we called John Carter Cash and his wife, said, come out and let's do Daddy Sing Bass, one of the Johnny Cash songs that he did with Statler Brothers. So we thought that'd be cool. We thought doing an old Albert Brumley song with Marty Stewart around one mic, Rank Strangers, would be cool. So those were the two, and then we brought out my mom and Jamie's dad, JB.
Yep.
We thought, let's have our families there, just have it a fun night, you know, since we got 30 minutes. So anyway, we did all that, and after we got through with Marty, we took him. Jamie said, okay, thank you, Marty. We're going to throw it back to Eddie Stubbs. Well, Marty grabbed the mic and said, I got to do a little business. And unbeknownst to me, all my family was supposed to have been in New York. Well, when he turned the lights on, and I got to say this too, we did more than a name on a wall that night.
Oh.
And every time we do it, we always say, ask the veterans to stand. Well, they stood, and they didn't turn the lights on out front. And I thought, these people are so rude, the Opry, you know, staff. They always turn the lights on. And I was thinking, I almost said to Jamie, I thought, what a jerk not to do that to the veterans. Well, what I didn't know was our families were in the audience.
And they didn't want you to know.
No. Yeah. So anyway, Marty said, you got some family here. And when they hit the lights then, all of our families was there. I mean, and friends from around the United States, promoter friends, they were all there.
Goosebumps for you.
It was amazing. Man. That was the first shocker. And then he said, you know, he said that you guys have played it 100 times. He said, it don't look like you guys are going to go home anytime soon. He said, country music needs you. Music, or the bluegrass needs you. He said, and we'd like, and the Grand Ole Opry needs you. He said, we'd like to make you the next members and family of the Grand Ole Opry. And when he said that, I dropped to my knees and said, thank you, Jesus. I was so thankful. Jamie was crying like a little five-year-old little girl.
Again.
Just crying his little eyes out.
But he has great cuticles.
Yeah. So why? It's from the tears, actually. Did you know that if you soak your cuticles in tears?
Yes.
So we had no clue.
That's fantastic.
No clue. It was
really?
No, none.
See, and I'm sitting, as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, how could you not have a clue? Because you've... you all those clues, you know, kind of stacked up, and at no point did you ever say to each other, "Hey, you think?"
No, sir.
Wow.
Because we just thought, well, there's so many other worthy people that needs to be on the Opry before us.
Right.
Really. I can name you off a list of people we love, and we never thought it would be possible. So we just put it on the shelf. Thought, you know, as long as we get to play it a couple times a month, we're happy and satisfied because we love WSM, the Grand Ole Opry, Gaylord. We loved Ryman, all those. So when he made us a member, it was a shock.
So what
shock.
Is going through your mind at that exact moment when they say, okay, we want you to join the Grand Ole Opry? Was it a blank?
No. I'm telling you, I honestly went to my knees and said, thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
And why me? And thank you for your blessings. We stayed up all night talking about it on the phone.
Wow.
Yeah, driving. We were going to Indianapolis when I seen you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we talked all the way to Indianapolis on the phone. I laid in bed with my wife. We talked till it was dawn. And I cried. We cried all weekend. We were so thankful. Yeah, we cried and cried.
Man. It was so funny because after we separated and left there at the gas station, I said, well, since I'm sitting here, I'll check my emails. Mm-hmm. And that was the email I got from your PR company saying, like, are you kidding me? I was right here. I didn't get a chance to say congrats. So congratulations.
Hey, thank you, Scott.
Thrilled for you.
Well, I didn't know how to say it, and I didn't want to say, hey, look at me.
You don't lead with that, right?
No, not really.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I'm humble. You know, I'm very proud.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it was an absolute thrill. But, you know, obviously our management knew it, but we had
sure.
no clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a wonderful, wonderful minute for
you. It really
y'all.
Was.
Proud of you.
It was very special. Hey, go to the YouTube or Daily Vincent and look, watch it.
I watched it.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
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 And a lot of people said, what were you doing on your knees? And I said, I'm thanking the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was instant.
Yeah. Wow.
Part of the deal is we have to clean the stage.
Yeah.
I figured I'd just get started now.
Yeah. It was happy tears.
That's good. That's good.
And we're so thankful to the Grand Ole Opry.
All right.
Very nice.
Good. Is that
very
it?
Nice.
I'm gone?
Yeah, we're out of time.
No,
we are not out of time. If you could just move the chair, we'd like to get somebody else in
here
now.
Yeah, if you don't mind. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about this because
that's great.
sound is so important to bluegrass fans. Probably more important, and this is going to be kind of tough for listeners, but I truly believe sound is more important to bluegrass bands than any other genre because everything is so important. Especially so often, it's that one mic, yeah. You know, and you're working with everything has to be just right. And what we've noticed after 10 years is it's very rare that a bluegrass band will come in and play because it's a, you know, unless
on our show.
On our
yeah.
show,
oh, yeah.
unless they, you know, they have everything dialed in. So
yeah.
how do you adjust sound because it's so important when you're bouncing between festivals, theaters, Carnegie Hall? Oh, did we mention Carnegie Hall?
You just did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not something you lead with. But,
right.
Yeah. You are wearing the Carnegie Hall T-shirt, so.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
No, seriously. How do you adjust to that? Because I know that's an important part of what you do.
It is. And the way we adjust is, first of all, we have an amazing engineer. His name's Scotty Bolin. Mm-hmm. That guy is anointed just as much as Taylor Swift or anybody that sings or writes. We have some great, great people around us, and he is one that can feel the room and make it feel good out there. And when it's feeling good out front, it normally feels good on stage.
Right.
And we always pack all of our in-ear monitors and all the they call it backline.
Mm-hmm.
For those in the radio land that don't know that, but the drums, all the mics, in-ear stuff, we carry every night. We use our own stuff.
Okay.
And so that's pretty well consistent. But once Scotty gets through dialing it in out front, that's when it really is right for the audience and it's right for us. So he is absolutely key instrumental, Scotty Bolin.
Wow.
He's a genius.
How different does it sound when the room is empty, let's say when you're doing sound check, and then when it fills up with people? Does that really affect it?
Yes, sir, it does. When there's no people in there, there's more, what do you call it?
Reverb?
No, well, it's reflection.
Okay.
It's bouncing off. And when you have all the people in there, it dries it up.
Oh, okay.
And so it takes more power because the bodies are absorbing
right.
the frequencies. Hmm. So, yeah, it deadens it a lot. So you have to adjust the volumes. And certain frequencies will drop out in certain buildings. Yeah.
Wow.
So there's a big difference.
Darren is the producer of
Yes.
I mean, you love being in the studio. You're all about that.
You like
stuff,
the
though,
technical stuff.
I do.
Which is awesome. I love that.
Well, I do. Yeah.
Does Jamie share that, or
he hears it too?
No, I mean, does he like the technology and this, or
not,
do you
not
guys
as much.
Differ in
no,
that
he,
area?
He's got his. He's the writer. He creates a lot of things.
Yeah.
He's the funny guy.
Yeah.
He for the wardrobe. He does a lot of different things business wise. Comes up with great ideas that we need to do business wise. Mm-hmm. I'm a hands on type of guy. I'm a get in the trenches and dig it in, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie's more of an ideas type of guy, but he'll get in right there with me, and we work. You know, roll up our sleeves and get in there and dig in. But we each have separate roles. But
that's awesome. Yeah.
It's like a marriage. My wife's really smart, really educated. I'm not.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mind giving her credit. And she's a principal out there in DeKalb County.
Okay.
And she's almost, I've been wanting her to go to school and get her doctorate degree. She's just one degree off. I mean, why not just do it?
Yeah.
So she's smart. I'm not. We just kind of even out. And that's the same with me and Jamie. We just have a great marriage in music. And it's just wonderful how the Lord is. And the Lord put it together. I mean, it was just the Lord thing that mm-hmm. we came together.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
Well, Scott and I were talking recently about touring and everything, and just how exhausting it can be.
Oh yeah.
And also how boring it can be. I mean, how do you guys keep busy, and what do you guys do to keep busy during all the downtime that you have, whether it's on a bus or, you know, just waiting around? There is a lot of waiting around.
There's a lot of the payoff's playing the music on stage,
right,
the audience.
Right.
The other 22 hours is the hard part.
Yeah.
Well, we got a great band. All of the guys are, they're characters in their own right. And, you know, they're just like kids. Mm-hmm. They've all got their little quirks, and they're funny in their own little ways. But, you know, there's 11 of us on the bus, 10 to 11 people at all times.
Wow.
And so there's really not a lack of entertainment.
Okay.
There's always something going on.
A lot of reading or watching movies or
something like that.
Yeah. I see.
In other words,
okay. Stop asking is what he's saying right now.
Enough. They're a lot of fun. Yeah, they are a lot of fun. Yeah.
Okay. Both you and Jamie had the benefit of really touring with legends for quite a while. And now you know, for the most part, your band is our young, just smoking players.
Yes.
But kind of, you know, the next generation, you know, and great voices and great chops on their instruments that will no doubt at some point head out on their own, just like you guys did.
Absolutely.
To create their own sound. So what do you hope, you know, when they're being interviewed by a couple of knuckleheads and we say, you know, what did you learn from Daly and Vincent? Or what do you hope that their takeaways are from the time spent with you guys?
I would hope that they would say that they learned from some of our mistakes that we've made, because we make mistakes. We're not perfect. The integrity of the music would be high on the list of what they maybe took from Jamie and I. I think what we talked about a while ago, entertaining people.
Right.
I would think that would be high on their list, that we take great value and great pride in bringing an entertainment value to people.
Yeah.
I would hope they would say that, and that we always try to do everything first class. And if it wasn't first class and done correctly, we just cut it and said, no, we're not doing it. And so there's an integrity there.
Yeah.
And I know that Jamie learned that from Doyle, and I took a lot from Ricky and John Harford, and of course being from my family group.
Yeah.
But integrity of the music and integrity of doing business in a right way
mm-hmm.
is really, really a passion of me and Jamie's. Jamie and I. But integrity means everything. And that's including on stage, off stage, in the business, in Nashville. I know if you do somebody wrong in this town, it gets around before you get back home.
Right.
So keeping a high integrity, I would hope they would say all about that about me and Jamie and I. There, I did it again.
He's not here. You can say me and Jamie.
Well, I got slapped on the hands the other day for saying me and Jamie, so I want to say Jamie and I. Yeah.
By the principal?
No, by a dear friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He said, you know you're not saying that right. And an elderly gentleman is really I respect. I said, how should I say it? He said, you should say Jamie and I. I said, I won't forget that.
All right, okay. Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, one of the things I respect about you guys is you include all your band in the show.
Yep.
They're all part of the show.
They
you know, I think we've all seen certain artists go out there and the band is like in black, way in the back, in the dark, and it's, you know, and it's not... They're not part of the show, really. They're just playing the music. And I like that you guys include everybody. Because that makes it more fun for the audience, honestly.
It does, and it gives me, Jamie and I a break.
Yeah.
You know, you can only sing so long.
You know you're
long.
Saying that wrong, right?
I probably am.
I'm just kidding.
but you can only sing so long to people, and they love the harmonies and love the lead vocals and all that, but they have to have a variety of different
sounds.
You
got to break it up.
Yeah.
You got to break it up. And when you've got, you know, Sean Richardson on the guitar, Jesse Baker on banjo, and our new fiddle player, Patrick McAvenue, and of course, Jeff Parker on mandolin, you got four wonderful soloists, instrumentalists. Why not feature them on a smoking song?
Right.
You know, write it, whatever you need to do. Why not feature it? If you don't feature it, first of all, you're shooting yourself in the foot because the people's going to like it.
Right.
And you're holding wonderful creative people back. So we always give everybody a shot at singing, playing, do whatever it takes in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we you know, Jamie, he painstakingly thinks the show through and places people in the right place, how it would go on stage. And sometimes it don't go right, and we'll do an audible. We'll start pulling things and doing stuff different. But it's nice to have an arsenal of wonderful, talented people behind
right.
you that you can point to them and say, you're next, get yeah. this song. And the people absolutely love it.
You know, and that is exactly right. I loved it. So
thank you.
Awesome. So we should probably go ahead and take a break.
Me and Hino need to take a break.
Hino and I and me need to take a break.
We're here with Darren Vincent of Daily and Vincent. You're listening to
me
the Music Row Show.
Yeah.
We're going to be right back.
Like a wagon wheel, radio playing in the pickup truck, picking and a grinning with Roy and Bud. Fire on the mountain, fox on the run. End of the day when the work was done, was music to my ears when I was young. A soundtrack of my growing up.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That is Daly and Vincent doing that feel good music off of their Patriots and Poets album. That is a great song. I watched the video today.
Yeah.
Love the video.
Isn't that fun?
It's very fun. Got Whispering Bill on there.
Yeah.
Our another WSM personality, Marcia Campbell,
does
a little dancing. You know, she dances at the Opry also.
You know who did a little dancing at the Opry this weekend?
Right there, yeah. Mr.
Darren Vincent.
Yes, I did. I loved it.
You were jitterbugging there, man.
I was digging in for everything I had.
Yeah?
Wow.
And I can't dance.
How did that happen?
Marcia said, where are you going to be standing? I said, I'm going to be standing right here. She says, don't move. I'll be back. and Connie Smith almost pushed me out there. And she said, you going to dance? I said, I don't know. But I said, Marcia said, just stay right here. And next thing I know, here she come and grabbed me by the hand, and we took it.
There you go.
Wow. It was really neat. I'd seen so many people do that with the opera dancers over the years.
Yeah.
And for her to ask me to do that really blessed my life. It was really cool.
That is
I've been waiting
awesome.
To do that for years. Well, you know, thinking if I ever had the opportunity, I'm
so
taking it.
How that's long till you're on one of those dancing shows, you know, with the celebrities
Dancing
and stuff.
With the Stars.
I'm never
going to
do that. I can't do Dancing
Come
with the Stars.
Come on. No. That would be funny.
Yes, it would.
All right.
If you're looking for comedy, yes, it would be hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I love the song Spring Hill off of your current project.
Thank you.
And it just got me thinking, I mean, such a great instrumental tune, but
yeah.
with so many solos in that style of music anyway,
yeah.
what goes into the decision to do an all instrumental tune? Did Jamie just get sick of writing lyrics that day, or what? How does that work?
Well, we've encouraged all of our guys to write, you know, music.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse, our banjo player, said, I've written a few songs. And we said, well, play them for us. Let's
yeah.
hear them. And when we played them on stage, the people's reaction, their reaction was been incredible. And he had actually written one on the first live DVD that Buddy Hyatt, he was on and mixed. And we said, we love this one, too. Let's just try to put this on the record. And he said, well, I've got another one. And it's 255 North, and
so
we've been doing
both
that
of them on there.
Yeah, so
yeah.
we put that on there too.
Yeah,
it was just
the last track. Isn't
that's
it?
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So it's just a decision to put it on there because it's good.
Awesome,
and it deserved a place on the record.
Well, I loved it.
Thank you.
So I was just wondering about that. Since
well, I'm glad you brought that up because you know, aside from the awesome vocals, and they are that CD is just
thank
beautiful.
You.
The instrumentation is just
when
so,
you're singing.
So good. It just seems like, because you, gosh, I think it was 2007 was the first time you came on our show, 2007,
yeah,
2008.
It's been a while. You guys have been there from the very get-go. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thank you, guys.
But
and have we ever gotten a backstage pass?
Never. Never.
Never. Never. Not once.
Okay,
not once.
You're invited, guys.
Well, remember when the lights came on
promises.
At the Opry? Where
yeah.
was I?
Yeah.
I was in Bardstown.
Yeah, I was at home.
Jonathan, can't you do anything for them?
No, no, anyway. You can't. No,
what a friend he is.
What I was going
to
say.
Order that we have to,
you know. No, you guys, it seems like every album, it just goes up a notch instrumentally and musically. And is that a conscious effort? Are you guys constantly saying, what else can we do to raise the bar?
I think that subconsciously, yes. But realistically speaking, I think it's like growing. We all grow.
Yeah.
Our ears and our heart changes, our mind changes, and I just think we're just growing in the music. I know when, for me personally, Ricky Skaggs being there all that time, watching the thing progress in him, him writing music, singing, the things that he did musically,
yeah,
was so inspiring. And still today, even though I've been gone I spent 11 years with Ricky, but being gone these 10 years, I still... I guess I'm like a little kid when he puts out a record. I can't wait to hear what he's done because he's such a genius, and he is one of my all-time favorite musician/singers/people to be around.
That's
he and
wonderful.
Sharon White. Love those guys. And Vince Gill's another one. He's just the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You go listen to their records. It's just you just wait. You're on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
So I think we all grow musically. We all grow spiritually. We grow musically. And that's what I put it down as.
That's cool.
Well, now that you've been doing it 10 years, just you personally, mm-hmm. how do you feel when you go back and listen to your early stuff? Is it like the rest of us where you go, ooh?
Oh,
or,
it's awful.
Really?
Oh, I hate it.
Huh.
But I'll tell you what I don't hate, and I'm so thankful. I'm going to get emotional about it, but By the Mark, mm-hmm. off of our first CD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As our
great
very,
song.
That's what got us a record deal, started our career, everything. That's the only song I can go back to. And it about makes me cry every time I listen to it. It's just there's something about that cut that the Holy Spirit touched when we were in the studio.
Mm.
And I still feel the presence of the Lord every time I hear that song. And I'm so proud of that. That one I don't cringe on at all. Now, there's a lot of other things I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I should have done this, should have done that. But that song is just very special.
I'll tell you another one of your older songs that just kills me every time I hear it is On the Other Side.
Yes.
Love that song. Love that song.
I want to speak about that. I can't think of all the writers. I think it's Tom Bodkin and Jimmy Fortune wrote that.
Yeah.
And somebody else. There's three of them. But anyway, they had they all three, I don't know if you know the history of this, but they all three had dreams of their fathers. And
right.
they all three of their fathers had went on to be at the Lord. And they got sitting down there talking about the dreams, and they wrote that song. And
wow.
It's just amazing. What peace people have gotten from that song. And I don't know how many people watched the Ellen show, but she had a show about bullying.
I saw that.
Had a show about bullying, and there was a family on there from Georgia, and I guess their 13-year-old son had hung himself, committed suicide. And Ellen said, how did you get past that, you know, because that's a rough one.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I was driving in my truck one Saturday morning, or Sunday morning one, and he said, I was listening to Sirius XM Bluegrass Junction. And he said, I heard a group called Daley and Vincent singing On the Other Side. And he said he stopped his truck. And he got out. And he said, he prayed. He said, son, whatever his name was, he said, I've got to let you go. Because he said, I know I'll see you on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought him the peace. And he said that brought him the most comfort. And that was his testimony on the Ellen show.
That is amazing.
So that song is very powerful. We get emails all the time. In fact, we got one today about the a cappella record we did for the Tennessee Bible College. That the lady had Alzheimer's. And I can't remember the song it was. It was an old hymn. And he was playing it for his mama. And all of a sudden, she started singing right along with him. And she hadn't spoken in 2 weeks. She started singing along with me and Jamie, one of those old hymns.
Wow.
And he said he went in the other room and just absolutely cried his eyes out. And he said that was the last song that she ever sang or that she ever spoke.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Music, something else.
It's a powerful
one
tool.
More quick break. We're going to be back with a couple more minutes with Darren Vincent of Daley and Vincent. DaleyandVincent.com. Check out everything they got going on. We're going to be back in just a moment. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Darren Vincent of Daily and Vincent, and that's the song we were just talking
that's
about just a few minutes ago called By the Mark, yeah, off of their very first album.
I got one of the tracks on the new album, Patriots and Poets, which is available all over the place, yeah, of course, iTunes,
DailyVincent.com,
Amazon, DailyVincent.com.
Yeah. I've burned a few copies that you can buy.
Oh, great. Come meet us at the studio.
Yeah, and, in the parking lot after the show.
You're such a good friend.
Yeah.
If you buy two of the Darlin CDs, we'll give you one of Daily and Vincent's for free. And no. Yeah. What are we doing?
What a deal.
One of the songs is, I don't know if there's been a lot of bluegrass songs with Kardashian references.
Probably not.
But you got one. And then you threw the Steve Martin monologue. And I imagine, is that him on the banjo too?
No, it wasn't him.
It's just the monologue?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's actually Jesse on the banjo.
Okay.
Yeah, Karen Staley. Jamie had this idea. Karen Staley, you know, Jamie, both of them wrote this song. It was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And Jamie wanted a talking part in it that Steve Dunn did. But before that, we did two or three different people trying to get it to sound right, and it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So Jamie said, you know, the only person that can do this was Steve Martin. And it just so happens I've had Steve Martin's cell phone number. So I said, well, let me ask him, you know. So I text Steve. I said, would you do the honors of just listening to see if you could do this talking part? And he said, yeah, send it to me. I sent it to him. He sent me, I think, three tracks back almost instantly.
Mm.
He said, see if this works for you. We edited them together,
mm-hmm,
and that's what you got on the thing, on our CD, California.
That's amazing.
And I'm telling you, we roll every time we hear him doing it. It's
that's
so good.
Awesome.
Wow.
He's a great player, compassionate about bluegrass and acoustic music on the banjo.
Right.
And just a funny guy and such a nice guy. And I don't know if you've seen it on Instagram, or no, it was Twitter the other day, what he said about Glenn Campbell's passing.
Mm-mm.
He said, thank you, Glenn, for you were the first person I ever worked for as a writer on the Glenn Campbell show.
Wow. Sure.
And I think it was Steve Martin, Super Dave Osborne of Showtime,
right,
and John Hartford.
Wow.
They were all the writers for Glenn Campbell's show.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Wow.
And speaking of writer, Steve Martin has also written some great books.
Oh, yeah.
I've read all
his
books, and they're just really, really good.
I love him.
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy. And
super
talented. I love watching his little tweets that he does. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, we got another 30 seconds. when we go off the air, we'll just prank call Steve, since now
just
we know
it.
That we
yeah,
got
yeah,
his.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, website,
DailyVincent.com,
all the socials.
Instagram's the official Daily and Vincent, Facebook, official Instagram, all the way across.
Nice.
Hey, and I want to tell everybody, come to our Bluegrass Festival. It's Landfest over in Hiawassee, Georgia,
right,
September the 14th through the 16th.
Ooh.
Our TV show, RFD-TV, every Saturday night at 9:30 Eastern Time. And, of course, come to our new home, the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. And listen,
and you're
to
also heard on WSM, aren't you?
6:50 a.m. WSM.
When?
Worldwide. It's on the last Friday of the month.
Okay.
From 6 to 7 Central Time.
And that's sponsored by Al Purnell's Country Sausage?
Close. Yeah, it's actually chicken. Springer Mountain Farms chicken.
Springer Mountain Farms.
That's the next
time. We love
time,
those
yeah.
guys.
We
oh,
love Springer Mountain
Farms. Yes, we do.
I'm sorry. I just, every now and then I see those Al Purnell trucks,
Scott,
go by.
Can you shut his mic off, Jonathan?
Well, thanks again for joining us. Please give our best to your partner, and hopefully he feels much better soon.
I hope I find him. I
hope you find him. Otherwise, you do have a promising dance career ahead of you.
That's right.
As an Opry square dancer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Listen, we got another great hour of the show coming up. We're doing our Smoky Mountain Songwriter Festival preview, and we got the Darlins here with us. So you're going to definitely want to come back for that.
Absolutely.
So come on back to the Music Row Show in just a minute.
This is the place to be.
Thank you, Darren.